Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1444 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I'm nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing a series this week on Meditation Monday, which will focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights by Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our first few insights will focus on the study habits and build on a strong foundation. Today, let us meditate on No Excuse Bible Study. We'll start with insight number 7 today, which is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It's no excuse for intellectual laziness in Bible study. No one likes to hear excuses, whether it be from our kids, our parents, your coworkers, or your friends. It's just downright annoying when people try to avoid their problems and then make excuse for not doing what they know needs to be done. It is something that we all have to watch for in ourselves also, and this also applies to the study of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 has, unfortunately, become a go-to verse for quitting when thinking gets hard in our Bible study. Let me read that verse to you. The Lord, our God, has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. Most people only know the first few words. The Lord, our God, has secrets known to no one. Dr. Heiser shares that as a professor and a Bible teacher in church, he has heard those words often enough to be able to paraphrase their meaning whenever students of all varieties and circumstances use them. Here are some of the excuses that he's heard. No one really knows what that verse means, so can we move on to something more practical? How about, I want my Bible to be simple. You're making my head hurt. Or a third excuse that he's heard, are you going to ask us to explain that passage on an exam? The irony here is that Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, doesn't mean that there are things in the Bible that are hard to figure out. Deuteronomy chapter 9 is part of a conclusion of a long sermon by Moses about the blessings and cursings from God for obedience and disobedience. After talking about the need to obey God and how to avoid offending Him, Moses punctuates his point with this verse. The point is not that God says things that are difficult to understand, it's that concealed acts of sin are still known to God. He will punish them since He knows them. The revealed violations were the Israelites' responsibilities to punish. For our purpose, the point should be clear. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 is not about waving the white flag of surrender in our Bible study. No one understands everything in the Bible, but a lot of the hard passages do have coherent explanation, and it is our job to find them, not to evade the work involved. Let's move on to insight number 8 now. When you read about a place in the Bible, look up what happened there. Geography can be interesting if you allow it to be. Exploration of people, places, and events can also assist us in our Bible study. Who needs to pay attention to these places and locations, especially in a book as old as the Bible? And the answer is simple and clear. You do. For example, reading an article about a biblical region such as Bashan can change your mindset. It allows you to think about the word Bashan in the scripture the way the ancient Israelites thought about it. That's when your Bible study insights can be turned on. Every geographic location has its histories, and the places have reputations. What do you think about when you read the words Las Vegas? How about Ground Zero, Normandy, Boston Harbor, or Washington, D.C.? Each one comes with its own set of images drawn from significant and ongoing events. We can't see these place names without all sorts of ideas and memories flooding into our minds. The same is true with biblical places, but most of the ancient place names don't resonate with us since we know little about their history. Biblical writers drop place names all the time throughout Scripture. When they noted in passing that a biblical character went to a location or did something in a particular place, their readers knew instantly what the geography telegraphed. For example, it's significant that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem to renew the covenant with God in Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. Shechem had its history, both good and bad. In the horrible stories found in Judges chapter 19 through 21, there are reasons why the author keeps dropping geographical hints about the characters. The place names drive the stories because the associations they conjure up in the minds of the reader. Paul's urgent passion for getting to Spain in Romans chapter 15 has a compelling Old Testament backdrop. Are you curious about these examples? Well, that's good. You have work to do. Discovering what the location is known for will help you to think the thoughts that the author wanted you to have. And let's return to our verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, as we meditate on Bible study today. And God said to Joshua, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." And that's a wrap for today's meditation. We will continue our trek each Meditation Monday as we take time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. On tomorrow's trek, we will explore another wisdom quote. This 3-minute wisdom supplement will assist you on becoming healthy, wealthy, and wise each day. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life. And encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,443 daily treks or read the daily journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.